How was Costas last night for those who watched the game on television? Can somebody let me know how Costas was last night? Because I heard a guy next to me say on Wednesday night, Costas was on the air saying, it's all blue except for one Chiefs fan in red behind home plate. And that was Marlins man in orange.
Wow.
So I heard that. I went, oh, God. Like, everybody around me last night was just complaining about Costas and whatnot. Apparently, he had a conversation with a fan walking into the stadium the other day. From what one of our people had told me that was out there and said some guy was shouting at Costas and Costas went and talked to the guy. So, like, how was it last night for those who were watching the game on TBS? Let me know how old Bob was, because I did put up a poll who's going to have a better night, the umpires or Costas, and the umpires ran away with the
That's
with
when
that.
You know it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You listen polls to the umps like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So people don't like the umpires, but
yeah, exactly.
But they didn't like Costas, like 70-30 type for your percentage. So even maybe more so. So how was Bob last night? Let us know.
From what I saw, he was very nail bite-ish on that hit by Kyle Isbell that would have been gone if the wind was a little bit
less. He clutching his rosary?
Is he Catholic?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, a Yankee fan calling the game, so I was just wondering.
I don't know. But that would have been mass if he would have hit that home run. You know who played really good last night? Michael Massey was clean at second base, by the way.
Very good baseball player.
I mean,
He's just a good baseball player.
The middle of your infield is set, dude.
As long as his back holds up, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was good at second base.
Yeah, he's really good.
That great 4-6-3 double play was awesome.
Yeah,
the glove, that was great.
Yeah, I like Michael Massey. He's never going to get the headlines or anything like that, but you need guys like that on your team, right? He's kind of, I don't want to say the term glue guy or anything like that, but he's a really good player. I just hope his back can hold up and he can be a 162-er for you, you know?
Yeah. All right, it's my favorite part of our show. It's the what's in the script. Who wants to go first? Bob, Mac, Dusty?
Bob?
All right.
What about you?
I'll go first.
Do it.
Is it Aaron Rodgers related?
There will be a skosh of Aaron Rodgers in that script, which I was just telling Dusty in the break. It is open season on Aaron Rodgers. Ryan Clark's on ESPN saying we get catfished by this guy.
Put Manti Te'o's on Good Morning Football.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
Too soon?
Maybe it was a shot at him subliminally. I don't know. He says when you're comparing him to Tom Brady and others, you're like, we got catfished by this guy. Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys who's a jerk to everybody on the way up, and there ain't nobody there to catch him right now, and everybody's watching him fall. And nobody cares. So for me this weekend, the only thing in the script will be people realizing how much better the Chiefs are over everyone else in the NFL, including Minnesota. Last week was some of their lowest Sunday ratings the NFL has had in years, right?
Why?
Chiefs played on Monday night. Chiefs don't play this weekend at all. I'll be interested to see the ratings, and I'll be interested to see what people truly think of the league when they walk away from watching some of these other teams that play that, quite honestly, are boring. They're not as good and not as fun and not as entertaining about the Chiefs. I think people will say the weekend is going to be mid because no one in the NFL entertains like the Kansas City Chiefs. And whether it's watching them play defense, special teams, offense, they are so entertaining, so much fun to watch. And this weekend, America doesn't have the opportunity to watch the Kansas City Chiefs, and that stinks. Baltimore will beat Washington, and some will say now the Ravens are the team that's going to knock off Kansas City, as they've already started to do Dominique Foxworth, right? I do think the Ravens get that win this weekend, and everybody say the Ravens are sneaky. They're getting hot at the right time, blah, blah, blah. Chiefs already beat them this year. Doesn't matter. And then Daniel Jones and the Giants are going to beat Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals to officially put that nail in the coffin, because the Giants are coming off that big win against Seattle. Even though their first drive ended in a fumble return for 101 yards for a touchdown, they actually look competent on offense. And I think Cincinnati right now is already making plans for the offseason to go to Cabo. So the Giants are going to finish the Bengals off this weekend. But before the games start, every pregame show will have an hour of Aaron Rodgers coverage. And it will be all the Jets, all Aaron Rodgers, and all that fiasco. Because you know what? That is a train wreck, and we all love it. We all stop and watch what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. We cannot get enough of that saga in New York.
Love it. Is that that's Monday Night Football, right?
It
Jets
is.
Bills. Ooh,
Jets Bills Monday. But they're gonna it's gonna dominate the Sunday pregame show.
Course.
That's all anybody every pregame show on Sunday is gonna leave with Robert Saleh getting fired and Aaron Rodgers' role in this. And nobody believes Aaron Rodgers. That's the other thing.
I know.
Like universally, unanimously, not one human being on the earth today is believing what Aaron Rodgers is selling. You're telling me the owner called you on Monday and didn't bring up firing the coach and then fired him the next morning? Come on,
well,
Aaron.
It goes on Pat McAfee, and I have no power to get someone fired. Well, we know you have the power to get someone hired, Nathaniel Hackett.
Right.
We've proven that. You've said that.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell us you don't have the power to get someone fired? Yeah, it's baloney.
Yeah, nobody's buying what Aaron Rodgers is selling. And the longer that he continues to play, the worse his reputation's going to be. And people are going to remember this version of Aaron Rodgers. This is what happens when athletes stay at the party too long.
It sucks. He was really fun to watch about 12 years ago. Saints, and this is my script, I'm going to go. Saints and Spencer Rattler. So the Saints play the Bucks this week, and Spencer Rattler is starting for Derek Carr. And he's going to become the starter for the rest of the season after this week. He's going to play well. He's going to beat Tampa Bay. He's actually kind of a talented quarterback. He never really got it going in college. Everyone just kind of knows him from that show when he was a high school senior, and he was a total jerkwad when he was 17 years old. Well, he's 23, 24 years old now. He's grown a lot. I actually think he's really, really talented. He's going to take over Derek Carr's job in New Orleans. Carr's going to be traded to the Miami Dolphins or the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh,
after this week.
I like that.
Because the Saints are like, I don't need you anymore. We're paying you. You're a statue. You're throwing picks up to Brian Cook on the sideline when you think you're throwing 60 yards. Broncos are going to beat the Chargers. And the NFL media is finally going to start to notice the Broncos. Go, oh, the Broncos, they've won four in a row. Bo Nix, is Sean Payton truly the savior that we thought? But in all reality, they're a bad team. He's beaten other bad teams along with a volatile Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. The Bengals, you mentioned it, Bob. You think they're going to win? I think they're going to play a close game on Sunday Night Football. I do think they're going to be able to beat the Giants in a close one. I think Joe Burrow will look good, and he'll get praised as the savior who's saving this team. But even though they're 2-4, and he's been a part of those losses, he's made bad plays in those losses. He's fumbled it against the Kansas City Chiefs in a clutch situation. He threw an interception, I think fumbled it against the Baltimore Ravens in a clutch situation. And, of course, like you said, the Chiefs will walk out at a winner as the cesspool of the NFL grows murky and murkier at the bottom, and that path of clarity grows even more clear for the Chiefs at the top.
I like the trade of Derek Carr.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
Thank
That's
you.
A really nice play by you.
Thank
yeah.
you.
My script is we're going to turn Bob into a believer this weekend with two guys.
Okay.
This week, Kyler Murray and Caleb Williams are going to prove it to you, Bob Fesco.
All right. Are they playing against each other?
They're not. Kyler Murray goes on the road to Green Bay. Okay. Kyler Murray against Green Bay is going to be something that I don't think you're going to expect. You think, oh, he's in Lambeau. Tough test. You know, you go to a hostile environment. Green Bay is 23rd in passing yards allowed and 23rd in total yards allowed. Kyler Murray has a wide receiver one in Marvin Harrison Jr. There's no secret. He has got weapons. He seems to be playing better this year. He seems to be healthy. He has 7 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's got that wide receiver one. He has a 99.1 QBR, and he has a 68% passing completion percentage. Mm. Those are numbers that you cannot deny. He also averages 200 yards a game. If you want to be fair, it's 195. But he has a big opportunity. So we're going to go into a hostile environment in Lambeau. Big test. NFC North opponent. I know he's in the NFC West. The NFC West is wide open. The leader
wide
of that division. The
open.
Leader of that division is the team that played last night, which is the San Francisco 49ers. They are 3-3. They'll be 3-4 after next week. Kyler Murray wins this week. He shows more belief than Bob and everybody else that's just going to use that lame excuse and all he does is play Call of Duty. Kyler Murray's been better than people think. He proves that to Bob this weekend. The other thing that gets proven is Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams will get Doug Peterson fired after this game on Sunday. The Jaguars go to Chicago. Caleb Williams now has two games.
Isn't this a London game this weekend for Jacksonville?
I guess, well, yeah. Chicago's a home team.
Yeah.
But Jacksonville in their hometown, I guess, of London. But they play host to or they play visitors to Chicago. They're the home team. They're in the better uniforms. Doug Peterson goes to London, does not make it back as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Chicago wins by 14 points. Caleb Williams has another 300-yard game. Jaguars have quit on Doug Peterson ever since your ATM guy fumbled the ball in the first game of the season.
Yep.
You said their season is over. It is an epic meltdown in Jacksonville. I think Caleb Williams has another big game. Roma Dunze looks like he might be on the come. Mm. You also have a couple of running backs in that backfield with Swift and their rookie this year as well. I really like Chicago this week against Jacksonville. I love Caleb Williams. I love Kyler Murray and all sorts of prop bets on FanDuel and DraftKings. Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray in the script make Bob a believer and kind of maintain his hatred towards those quarterbacks.
I think Jacksonville plays back-to-back games in London, right?
Yep,
so you're not going to fire Doug this week.
Well, that was my question. Yeah. Did they have to give him his own flight back? Yeah, Does he make the flight back?
You know how expensive it is to buy a ticket like last second?
He's getting fired.
You know, he probably will after the London trip. Like, they don't want to spend $900 to fly him back to Jacksonville.
You're on your own car at that point.
At that point in time. Now, I wonder how that works, honestly.
I just don't think
they're going to do it over there.
Hey, you're fired, and in your buyout money, you've got to use part of that to get back from London.
Back from London. Yeah, just leave the guy overseas.
That's two birds with one stone right there.
No, it would be crazy if they did fire him in the middle of a two-game series in London. Also, too, let me ask you this question. And why are we hearing Bears ownership, which sucks, come out and tell us they tried to get Tom Brady back in 2020? Like, what are you trying to do?
So dumb.
This is why the Bears will never be anything. Their owner's a doofus.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Like, it's 24, man. Like, why are you going out there? Well, we thought about signing. Yeah, so did everybody.
Yeah, cool.
What are you gaining by, like, did anybody else look at that and go, what's your MO here, man?
And you just signed your franchise quarterback, number one overall pick.
Yeah.
How about invoke some confidence in him?
Yeah. Well, you know, we could have had Tom Brady back in the day. No, you couldn't have.
No, he wasn't going to Chicago.
No. But that was just weird. Like, this
very
week
weird.
You decide to do something like that? Come on now.
From the 913, really questioning hiring of producers. You let a Bengals lover in the midday, Broncos lover in the AM, and sourpuss Debbie Downer in the PM.
Who's the Broncos lover in the AM?
Who's the Broncos lover? Oh, just because I said they're going to win this week and I talked trash on them, how the NFL media is finally going to give them, like, notice, but then they're actually going to suck. That was my whole thing.
That's a Bronco lover? Good
That's a Bronco lover. Yeah, come on. No.
What did the text line hire people that don't listen?
Come on.
What? Every day.
Somebody from the 620 says, Doug Peterson is probably so cheap that he'll just hang out in England. It's a ride home with the team.
No, he's not allowed on the plane.
Yeah.
If they fire him, he can't get on the plane. He's done.
Unless if I got fired, I would definitely stay in London for like a month.
Oh, God, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I would just be like, whatever. I'm sticking around.
I'm hanging out, man.
We do have
some bangers and mash.
Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology as the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Guys, it's a sad day for me. This is the last time we talked to Vern in six months.
Oh, no. He's coming on Monday. He just doesn't know it yet.
Oh, he doesn't.
We're going to wrap up the season with Vern on Monday.
I didn't know that.
We got a bye week this week, guys. We need content on Monday. Don't tell the boss.
Heard.
Well, guys, I take that back. This is our second to last time we talked to Vern in 6 months. Josh Verner, your Royals insider, joins Fesco and Dusty and Mac on the other side on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
We are back.
I just got a text from somebody that works in pro sports. You guys will appreciate this.
Nobody cares.
No.
I'm kidding.
We were talking about Doug Peterson getting fired.
Yeah.
And he says, the first thing everyone does when they get fired is go to Europe, so it's perfect. Just fire him over there.
Just stay over there. Fly over the wife.
She'll already be there. Hey, you got a one-way ticket taken care of already. Lodging for 2 weeks. If you want to fire him, fine. I'm going to Europe. See you later.
Would you rather go to London or Ireland?
I've been to London.
I've never been
to Ireland. So I would go to Ireland because I've never been there. But I've been to London, but I haven't really like spent a whole lot of time in London. I think I spent 3 days there with my parents 20 years ago, and then Jen and I did a day in London last year.
What's your bucket list vacation right now since you've already been to like
France? Oh, boy. Probably. I'm going to say Spain.
Ugh. That's mine.
We almost did our honeymoon in Spain.
Would you go see a footy match?
I would like to go see. Yeah, I'd like to go to an EPL game. You know, not like here over there. I'd like to go to an EPL game or a Bundesliga, which is Germany, I believe, and then Liga Spain or whatever what's their soccer league called?
I don't know.
That's at the tip of my tongue. But anyway, I'd like to go see a game over there. But Spain, you know, one of my best friends growing up, my neighbor, they were from Spain, like first generation in the United States. And so I was kind of, you know, had some of that culture growing up and the food, always loved the food and whatnot. And I guess the southern coast of Spain is supposed to be spectacular, like beaches and beautiful and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think Spain. What about you?
Scotland or Ireland.
Okay.
Obviously with the golf, but I won't get any more into that because I won't get made fun of. But I'd love to go play the old course.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
I've got a lot of Scottish in my bloodline, too, so that'd be kind of cool.
You see that dog leg over there, mate?
Or Fiji. That's another one of my bucket list items.
So, Mac, yours is Spain, too?
Yeah, I don't know why Barcelona has always been somewhere I've wanted to visit. Yeah. I've never been out of the country, so really a lot of places. But okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like Europe right now. You know, kind of got the bug. You get that travel bug, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I got the Vern bug. I listened to Vern last night until about 12:30. I'm serious.
Vern? We got out of there so fast, Vern wasn't even on when we left. But I did hear Vern, and I want Vern to kind of weigh in on this a little bit as well. I felt like Ryan and Denny were saying goodbye to each other for the final time last night. Did anybody else feel that way listening to the end of that broadcast? I mean, I don't know if it's how they normally end a season, but Ryan was like thanking Denny for 26 great years and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And Denny was kind of like thanking everybody and talking about, you know, the guys on the broadcast and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know if anybody else heard that last night, but I was listening to him like, is Denny saying goodbye without telling us goodbye? I don't know. And I hope not. I hope we get another year or so out of Denny. But if he was saying goodbye last night, I was like, man, I don't know what's going on here. So I don't know if anybody else had that kind of takeaway from the end of the broadcast last night, but that's kind of what we heard in the car driving home, and my wife and I are like, is Denny saying goodbye? I hope not.
We'll be joined by Vern in just a few minutes here, and Vern is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, baseball fans. Yeah, I don't know, man. I saw Denny in the stairwell at the end of the night. I mean, he's still taking the stairs, so I think he's probably still able to do so.
Dude, he's in better shape than all of us.
Yeah, I mean, he was at the top of the stairwell. I was like, Denny, thanks. And he's just like, you know, appreciate it. And it was, you know, that was that. But I don't think he's done. I think he's kind of like obviously in that legacy seat where it's like he's going to tell the organization.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Like whenever Vin Scully did it, you know, he was right. Just basically like, I'm going to do this until I die.
But Denny's such, I don't want to use the term a private guy. Denny's just such a, it's not about me guy. I could see him just, that was it last night, and him just walking away, not wanting a big deal or a celebration. I mean, they gave PR guys celebrations longer than they're going to give for Denny Matthews, I feel like. And so I think if that was Denny's last game last night, damn, I wish there was a celebration. And if it is going to be, and he knows that it's going to be coming sooner rather than later, I think we need to celebrate Denny Matthews around Major League Baseball. Hall of Famer, been at every Royals game basically ever, you know, except for the last few years, not traveling as much on the road, obviously. But I hope it's not his last game. But I just listened last night. I was like, damn, this is like two buddies saying goodbye to each other. And I was like a little bit sad because Ryan and Denny together on the radio are unbelievably awesome. And it was just Ryan Lefevre is just an unbelievable human being, one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. And I think he's an amazing broadcaster. And him and Denny together are special. And like, hearing them together last night in the car driving home, it felt right. It just felt good. And Ryan, you know, when Ryan came here, he replaced Fred White. It was obviously a tough situation for him to do something like that. And Denny took him under his wing. And I mean, the two of them together are some of the best radio that you're going to hear. And so I was happy last night to hear those guys together. And it just, I kind of felt like Denny was saying, that's all, folks. And I hope not, but man, I think that Ryan and Denny together is just special. I wish Ryan and Denny did every game on the radio together.
Bob Uecker isn't done. I don't think Denny Matthews is done.
Good.
And I think that that's just one of those things that is kind of like the announcer's omen is that, you know, until there's, no pun intended, dead air, like they're just going to do it. I mean, I know that it's, you know, he doesn't really travel as much anymore, but he's just one of those guys where like all he can do is just talk baseball and that's all he wants to do and, you know, not married and anything like that. So it's just like, I feel like he'll do it until like he literally can't talk.
Do you talk about Uecker or Denny?
Denny.
Yeah. And you look at Uecker too. I mean, I'm sure he's living off the residuals of Major League and Mr. Belvedere too. You know, you got all those things going for you.
Plus, I will tell you this to kind of ease a lot of people's tension, because from the 816 says, I was lying in bed last night, listened to them talk to each other. My heart started racing because I thought he was going to announce his retirement.
I was waiting for it. Yeah. And I just got a text from somebody close to both of them that said it wasn't a goodbye. So that's good news.
And this is the thing, too. Denny Matthews and the Royals will tell you before the season that it's his last year.
See, Denny's the type of guy, though, that I could see him not telling the Royals and just kind of doing
this,
man.
This is different.
I know it is, but Denny's just not about himself, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think that's a thing that's about himself. I think he would make it about the – I'll take the other side. I think that Denny Matthews would make it about the organization and then subtle at the end be like, and this is my last year with this wonderful organization. I think it'd be like, thank you to the Royals for, you know, however many years. I've been here since day one. I appreciate this organization. It's in good hands with all the people that are behind me. And with that, I'm announcing my retirement. Let's go play one more. Let's go have one more run.
Yeah, but do you think he does that? See, I don't feel like Denny does it at the beginning of the year. You know, Denny's not an ego guy that's going to want a rocking chair and all that celebration.
But I don't think that's an ego move.
For some people, it is.
But that's exactly my point. For some people, it is.
Yeah.
This isn't. He's not some people. He's a guy that's just going to be like, yep, this is it. And I know, and he's also the kind of guy that's, you know, kind of like Vern. A lot of people are like, wish him happy birthday. He's like, enough. Like, thank you very much.
But
he's like, get to the Royals take, which I know he didn't say that. But the thing with Denny is he's not egotistical. So he would like to nip it in the bud immediately in the spring. Be like, this will be my final year. I'll have my, you know, 15 seconds of fame with, you know, media outlets and all that. Somebody will have a great write-up about him. I can already see it. It'll probably be Vahe that writes the story about Denny Matthews. That's the only person I think that deserves to write that story. And I think that that's the way that he will do it. But I don't think he's done. I think that the way this team performed this year, he wants to see what they can do next year. Now, if they would have gone 56 wins,
maybe
you'd have heard him say, boy, this is enough for me. I can't take this bleep anymore.
Right.
First time I've cussed since 1969.
But I'm glad some other people had that same feeling too, listening, because I was on the edge of the seat in the car. Like, is Denny going to announce his retirement? Like, is this where we're going? Is he going to just say, and you know what? I've decided I'm done. Thank you, Kansas City. Goodbye. Like, that's how I thought it was going to go down. Cause that's how Denny is that's how he would do it, how he would want to do it. Well, Ryan, you got the totals for one. And he said that last night, Ryan, you want to do the totals one last time? And Ryan's like, sure. I was like, and is Denny going to retire? Like, I'm waiting for it. So we didn't get it last night. Hopefully you don't get it for a while. But, you know, like I said, I just received a text from somebody that knows both of them pretty close. And they said it wasn't a goodbye last night. So that's good.
We might have Vern a little bit later on. But as of right now, I think he might still be asleep and he deserves it. He was on the air till 1 a.m. But maybe we'll get Vern a little bit later. But we can talk about a couple of things of this Royals season. To me, in text line, this is where you can get engaged. 913-586-7965. If you want to get engaged, go to my friends at Diamonds Direct. But what was your guys' moment this year? Like, what was the moment that you were like, okay, I'm bought in? Because to me, it was the game against the Seattle Mariners. When they were down by like 7 runs or whatever it was, and they rallied back, and it was at home in front of that crowd. And it was one of those, you know, Miami Heat scenes, you know, where the fans left and then all of a sudden everybody started
trying to run back in.
And they're standing at the gate and they're you know, basically quoting Zach Bryan saying, open the gate. Great song. And they showed you that this team was going to be pushed around. This team had heart. This team had charisma. The team really
had
fought.
Spunk.
Yeah, and that game against Seattle way back when, because if you remember that series against Seattle, that's when like people like Vern and people started to talk about, okay, if this team's going to compete, the Seattle Mariners are a team that they're going to have to compete with. They have the best rotation, one of the best, if not the best, rotations in baseball. And, you know, that's kind of where I look at this whole thing and think to myself, you know what? That game let me know they weren't going to be pushed around. That was a game in which I thought to myself, the superstars have arrived. This team has its core. The pitching's great, and they can beat contenders in the American League. And then by the end of the season, they outwit, outlasted, and outplayed, Survivor, the Seattle Mariners. And I thought that was the moment this year where I was like, you know what? This is the game. This team can play, this team can fight, and this team believes, and this city kind of believes in this team.
All right, I'm going to take a different approach to that.
Okay.
And the reason I'm going to use this moment is because I can't stop thinking about this moment. MJ's home run against the Tigers. You know, they were down in that ball game, and it felt like it was ready to fall apart. Mm-hmm. What was it, the beginning of August, maybe it was? And then MJ hit that big home run, and they ended up winning that game. For me, that was the moment when I bought in. I'm like, all right, they got something here. They're showing fight. They're showing fire. And for whatever reason, I just can't get past that home run by MJ Melendez as the moment that kind of turned the season for me and the moment where I started to believe that this team may be headed to the postseason. And from then on there, I was like, all right, if this team doesn't make the postseason, now it's going to be very disappointing because they never should have won that game against the Tigers, right? And if they didn't win that game against the Tigers, maybe they don't make the postseason, right? You can say that for about any of these games because they just squeak into the playoffs. But that was kind of the moment for me where I started to believe.
Somebody from the text line says my moment was more of a stretch. It was when Bobby's month after the All-Star game, he became a star.
Yeah, that was a hell of a month after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is tough because it was such a stretch of baseball that not a lot of people are familiar seeing, and not a lot of people have really seen that in baseball because it's such an up and down roller coaster that when he did start to kind of come down from that outer stratosphere level, people are like, oh, is Bobby like coming down to earth? I'm like, yeah, he's now a 315 hitter instead of a 475 hitter. You know, he's no longer that boosted statted player on MLB The Show or whatever it is. So from the 816, the winning record in April.
Okay, the early.
You were in early. Yeah, so I like early. That.
But yeah. I think the majority of people, and I'll count myself in this category, is right. Like, hey, that was a good April, but the next shoe is going to drop. Like, you had to see it to believe it. And that's not being negative. That's being reality, right? That's being in reality. Because for so many years, we have seen this team fail. And I think our original mindset is that's what's going to happen. So you see a good month, you're like, hey, is it just smoke and mirrors? Is it just April? And, you know, I go back to Vinny, too, telling Joel in a post-game interview on Bally's, like, stop saying we're lucky or whatever it was. We're a good team, Joel, or whatever, you know, how he phrased it. And I go back to that a lot, too, where Vinny goes, we're a good team. And that was early on. That was early on in the season where they were winning some games and having some fun, and people were wondering, you know, is this going to be a team that's going to contend? Is this a fun little story at the beginning of the year and all that kind of stuff? And Vinny looked in the camera and goes, we're a good team. And you start to believe a little bit, but you still need to see it on the field and, you know, whatnot, because we've been around sports for so long. We've seen good starts. We've seen good finishes. We just haven't seen a great stretch for a long period of time. And Vinny said that, and I think he got his teammates to buy in after he said that we're a good team. We're not just a, you know, a lucky team or a fun team. We're a good team. And I think his teammates bought in at that moment. And then the fan base comes along and, you know, we'll see next year. Everybody will be running out to Kauffman Stadium because they're coming off a great season.
Somebody says from the 816, they ride the coattails of that. Says, I bought in when Vinny clapped saying we're not a bad team.
Yeah.
Somebody from the 816, after we maintained through May, Bobby Witt's go-ahead grand slam in July. That was the moment.
Was a good one.
July 29th against the White Sox.
That was, didn't he have like plays in the field in that game too?
Yeah. He made back-to-back defensive plays to close
the game.
The 9-game perfect homestand did it for me from the 6-6-0. 729, obviously the White Sox home run. Mine was when they made the wild card game and the game started airing on cable TV because Bally sucks. Thank you for joining the show.
That's on you again. Stop saying you couldn't watch the Royals. You could very easily watch the Royals. You chose, and that's fine. That's fine. You chose not to. And quite honestly, there was no reason to invest in the Bally's app at the beginning of the year. You didn't know what this team was going to be like. But to say that you couldn't watch the Royals is just a fallacy.
Mm-hmm. Somebody, I like this one because it was going to be mine, but I thought it would be overly modulated on the text line. When they paid Bobby, that made them believe. And I think
I think it made you believe in John Sherman.
I think there's a ton of layers there. I think that lets you believe that John Sherman was serious about what he said when he goes, I want to watch playoff baseball again in Kansas City. I miss it. I loved it.
I want to see what a wild card team looks like.
Right. And that was there. Some people might even say they believe when they signed Lugo and Waka. I mean,
what did you really expect out of Lugo and Waka? You know, like two guys that didn't have much experience starting and were older and, you know.
Well, when Lugo got here, a lot of people, and I remember Vern said it, he's like, Lugo's not going to throw overpowering stuff, but he's going to throw sweepers. He's going to get he's going to get more swing and misses than you think. He's going to be a solid arm in your rotation. And with Waka, To me, I'll be honest with you. This is fair. I'd have to do a lot of research, but on After Hours, I said signing Michael Wacha to me gives me a lot of similarities of James Shields. Not the same pitcher, but Michael Wacha was a guy that came to a pitching staff that had young pitching that were regarded as high prospects. Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, those type of guys, Alec Marsh, all the guys in that rotation. Mm-hmm. And he was a guy that's like, look, I've won a World Series. I've been in the spotlight. I've made some money. I want to help this team win. I want to be a leader of this rotation. And he was that.
Yeah.
Like, he was that person. That was my expectation, was to see how Michael Wacha could come to this team and really be that leader. Because you remember when James Shields came here, he really changed Danny Duffy's career for a short term.
He did.
Like, he was like, hey, man, you're an emotional guy. So am I. My favorite music group is Pennywise. I don't know if you ever listened to Pennywise, but they are a hard rock band. James Shields, you remember he'd always do the yell into his glove.
Yeah.
And Danny Duffy was one of those guys that at one point struck out 15 Tampa Bay Rays in a game.
Oh, I think it was 18.
No, it's 15. He set the Royal record.
I think it was 18.
Okay, look it up.
I'm going to look it up. Because
I think Zach Greinke set the record with 13. And when that happened, that let me believe that the ownership was in. They were making moves. And MLB Network was talking about how this team was serious and they were making moves and they were a team to not be sleeping on. And the Kansas City Royals proved a lot of people wrong, winning 56 games and moving that into an 84-win season. So, I mean, there's a lot of belief in this game, in this team.
18.
Good job. I bought in when they signed Bobby to an 18-year deal. Zach Greinke, I think, at 15 or 16. But, I mean, look, 41,000 on Wednesday night. 30.
Actually, we were both wrong. 16.
16. So you went over and I did.
You went under, yeah.
Yeah, so I win.
Eh, not really. We were both wrong.
It is what it is. Oh, the boss is here.
Oh, God.
His light just went on.
He's so excited to give a hot take that everybody else has had since yesterday.
I'm trying to figure out what we can do to make it awkward for Steven Spector.
Just say hello.
He does that himself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyways, coming up on the other side, what are your expectations for next season? And is this the least sad you've been after an elimination loss in sports? Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. Lift Masters Patent IQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Chin up, Royals fans. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals baseball in Kansas City.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. We are your home for Kansas City sports. Can I say something real quick?
Nope. Yeah.
Okay. It's now officially football season.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
That's all I got
to
say.
Matt, you can go back to talking to your friends about Sky Moore's production.
Finally.
I just
EPA per play, all those things are coming back.
No, they're not.
I guess Pennywise is not hard music.
I didn't know I was wrong about music for once.
Can you play a little of it for me, and I can judge since I'm an unbiased observer to this conversation?
What's the combo?
Pennywise and Pound Strong or something?
Well, I don't know how many Pound Strong.
Isn't that what they say? Pennywise and Pound Strong. And there's a saying, yeah. Yeah, that's hard music.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's headbanger rock and roll.
I don't know. I thought they were like kind of like a progressive rock band.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah,
I
liked it. Yeah. Yeah, punky.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah, I can see Mac bouncing in a mosh pit.
Yeah, I'm all in on that.
Whipping it, spit it.
So it's kind of like it's a Pennywise.
Okay.
They're kind of like, it sounds like kind of like the Tony Hawk. I mean, I guess they're not Slipknot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean,
none of their songs say wait and bleed.
Is this considered hard rock?
French toast.
Please stop.
Could
please
never
stop.
Cross my mind.
Oh, my God.
There'd be no strips of bacon on the side, no eggs of any kind. If it wasn't for breakfast. If it wasn't for breakfast.
I've been working on a new one, guys. I was singing it on the way in today. It's going to be good.
Oh, Jay Binkley, if you are listening, would you like to fill in for the next week?
Can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they were on Tony Hawk. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. I didn't mean hard as in like.
That's splitting hairs.
Yeah. I meant they were like more progressive. I apologize. Sorry. I didn't know there was that many, you know, Pennywise guys. They're an OG punk band. Yeah.
As, yeah, it sounded like OG. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Can't believe I don't know. I'll have to listen.
Dusty's really playing F Authority on the radio. I didn't play that song.
Speaking of authority.
Mm-hmm. I played Fight Till You Die and Broheme. Those are the two songs.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
No. Expectations for next year. What are yours, Mr. Fesco, for the Royals?
I think going into next season, you have to expect division championship now. You take that next step, right? You were a wild card team this year. You really weren't that far off. You had the lead in what? August, right? You tied the Indians in August, right? At the end of August, right before Vinny got hurt for first place. That's late in the season in a year where nobody had any expectations. So I always look at it as get better from where you were a season ago. This year they were a wild card team. Next year the expectation should be to win the American League Central. What do you guys have expectation-wise?
My, gosh, I don't want to sound like a vanilla sports radio host, but my expectations are go win 90 games. I don't know if that should win your division, right? Like, I think your expectations are the Central, but your expectations this year were the Central, right? Cole Reagans was like, we got to beat Cleveland. That's what we want to do. And Cleveland won the Central.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess my expectations would be F the wild card.
Go in the Central.
Get a bye.
Yeah, right.
I mean, winning the Central doesn't necessarily give you a bye.
No.
Go be one of the top two teams in the American League. Okay. That's my expectation. Okay. I want a little bit more.
A little bit more than just a division championship.
Yeah, I want a first round bye.
So your way or my way, whatever it is, we're all looking for the next step, right? Like a wild card team next year will be like, okay, that's cool. You're back in the playoffs, but it's got to be more. You have to start making those incremental steps. Again, you have to get better. You have to find a way to take that next step forward. Trades, signings, Seitzer, whatever, however you want to look at it, and start to kind of lay that groundwork for our expectation now is to win the division. Like, they can say that all they want. I'm talking fan expectation. I don't think any fan expected them to be in the playoffs this year, not one. And then they got there, and okay, that was the surprise. Now, what's the next step? The next step is now winning the division. Cleveland's a tough ball club. There's no question about it. But you know what? If you're going to be part of the postseason format going forward every year, you got to find a way to start winning that division. So I think that's the next step for them. Mac, for you?
Yeah, I'd love that. I think that'd be great. I mean, 86 wins this year. So yeah, I get over that 90 mark. I mean, if you're looking at just what you'd want, you know, but also just the playoffs for me, make the playoffs and look better and have Bobby Witt take that next step on the big stage. That would be kind of what I'm looking for. I mean, amazing season, could win be a top three MVP favorite next year. All those things are great, but Bobby talk about it all the time. I mean, really what matters is the postseason,
right?
That's what matters. So yeah, for the stars to be stars when it all counts, because they're going to be in the big dance next year. We're expecting that, but what do they do when they get there?
So when you started your conversation just now, 30 seconds ago, you sounded like you were a little hesitant about where you wanted this team to go. Did I read you right on that?
That's fair.
Okay. Are you a little hesitant because you're like, I got to see what they do in the offseason? Because I think the offseason is going to determine more of our expectation, right? If they come back status quo, you're not winning the division.
No.
You're just not.
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be very rough. So you've got to make those changes, which will then, I think, change the way we view expectations. So immediately, I mean, we're 12 hours after the season over, right? Like, all right, what's your expectation for next year? Let's go, right? But everybody's already talking about next year.
Absolutely.
But I think your hesitation is fair to sit there and go, I don't know, because if they run this thing back, they may not make the playoffs next year because they were 12-1 against the White Sox. I don't know that you're going to be 12-1 against the White Sox again next
year. What's Vinny going to look like?
Exactly. Like, I unpopular take for me, this may be Vinny's high watermark, right?
May have peaked this season.
May have peaked, right? Gotcha. Right. May have peaked this season. He's got the injury he's dealing with, how he recovers from that, but he may have peaked this year. We may have seen the best of Vinny Pasquantino because he's never been a high prospect, right? He's always overachieved and overachieved and fought and fought and fought and fought. leagues figure you out after a while, right? And for anybody, whether it's Bobby or Vinny or Salvi or Massey or whoever's in the lineup, right? They figure you out. You always got to stay kind of reinventing yourself. So if they go into the season with the status quo next year, there's a chance they don't make the playoffs because, you know, 12-1 against the White Sox was great this year. They were, what, 75-76 against everybody else or something like that, right?
Under 500.
Under 500 against everybody else. And the White Sox obviously are going to make adjustments and changes and get better. And so you can't count on going 12-1 against those teams. That's why you have to take it on yourself to get better and to evolve and to make yourself better. And that's why I say maybe you do look at making a change at hitting coach. Kevin Seitzer's been a great hitting coach in Major League Baseball. Sometimes messages wear thin and you just got to move on. It wasn't like Bob Sutton was a bad football coach. His message just wore thin. It was time to move on. Maybe the hitting coach's message is worn thin. Time to move on. Bring in Kevin Seitzer. Mm-hmm. He can be your hitting coach here, you know, in Kansas City. But yeah, a lot of expectation is going to be determined by the offseason. But my expectation for the offseason is very much like this season. John Sherman has showed he's willing to spend and put up money and put a winner on the field. I expect that again this offseason with Juan Soto.
My buddy Matt just texted me and said he expects Bobby Witt Jr. to be the MVP front runner and that the Royals win the Central.
Yeah.
Love it.
I will probably put a futures bet on Bobby Witt Jr. to win the MVP next year, which it probably won't be as high as it was this year.
What do you think it will be?
Plus 550.
Okay. That's still worth a bet.
I mean, I'm sure. I don't actually.
Wait, it's already plus 550 for next year?
No.
No, he's just guessing.
It's not. I'm just trying to guess where it'll be because if Mahomes was plus 450 this year, he's now the current favorite to win it this year with 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Is that what he has? 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions?
I believe so.
Tied for the league lead in picks.
Wonderful. I 5-0, baby.
5-0.
And favorite to win the MVP because he's 5-0.
Because he, I mean, like.
Yeah, without Rashee Rice, without Hollywood Brown, without Isaiah Pacheco, tackle.
Can we just laugh for a minute on how good this guy is?
If you want to laugh, stick around. Our Richer of the Week comes up next here on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.